The World Wrestling Federation. For over 50 years, the revolutionary force in sports entertainment.
What's our name?
We're men! Yes. Men on the
Mission! Are you ready?
We're men!
Here we go!
Men on the Mission!
The Huntsman! Men on the Mission! Bam, bang, boom! Here we go!
Welcome to the New Gen on Mission Podcast on our South Connection. I'm Tim Slapka.
I'm JP.
Thanks for joining us again. As always, we're on the journey to relive the new generation era, to find the best or the worst of a wrestling time period often forgotten. Brendan Shaw, Survivor Series 92, Brendan Shaw, Survivor Series 97. We look beyond the pay-per-views, examine the week of TV, so worked, what could have worked, and what failed. JP, how's life?
Pretty good, man. How you doing?
I'm good. I know we had a miss a week, but we're back at it. Ready to go with some Bob Backlund stuff.
Oh, yeah, you know? Yeah. I mean, that guy's, he's a revelation of sorts right now, but... You know, he used to be like as plain as animal crackers, but he's kind of coming around a little
new direction. Yes, new direction. So our life is all good right now.
Yeah. I'm still in the process of moving a little bit. That's why we had to miss an episode, but it's getting there. It's coming to fruition. So
good.
Yeah, it's definitely work. Yeah.
Yeah, I did it last fall, so I definitely remember.
Oh man, yeah, it's just crazy.
It just adds up. There's so much.
Yeah, Jesus, that's the thing. Like, you think it's just like, I can understand why people want to rent so much more. I get it.
Have you guys always rented then?
This is our first time we've actually bought that. Like, the house we're in now was her mom's house, so we're just like renting it for really, really cheap from her. And but then they wanted to move back in here, so we were gonna go buy a house anyways. So that's just. That's why we're not really in a rush to move in. We're kind of doing stuff to it to renovate and all this other stuff. So,
Just wait till something breaks and you're like, "Where's the landlord?" And
that's when it's called insurance fraud, buddy. I'm committing insurance fraud and I'm just gonna burn the bitch down and we're gonna go somewhere else. No, I'm definitely not doing that. If anybody's listening,
Mike Rotundo's not listening. You know, he's with the government. So
exactly.
Great.
And my father-in-law is like a really big time handyman mechanic.
That helps.
God, dude.
I'm a finance guy, so I know nothing. I can use a hammer and that's it.
Yep. Yeah, like I've laid a little bit of the flooring. Like, he's helped me a lot with it, but it's just like some of that stuff I'm just not. He just secondhand knows how to do everything.
I don't know how.
Right, you could tell me and I can do it, like once you tell me and explain it to me, but offhand, I don't know how to do any of that shit.
No, I remember a guy doing our flooring, and he was like, oh, I got to put some cement here to make it flat. I was like, that's a good point. I would have never done that. I would have just had sloping floors without, like, I was like, I'm glad we hired this guy, because I could have watched 100 YouTube videos before I figured that out.
Yeah.
Should we move on to some Russell? Wrestling,
if you want to call it that, yeah.
We got a lot of doink and dink, so we're ready to go. Oh my goodness! And we start off too.
Yes.
Actually, cancel the show. We're done.
This is why we had a hiatus.
This is why, and also why last time we did less superstars, because of this exact reason. So, we'll keep it positive the best we can, but also be realistic. So, we're on Superstars 9/17 taping. So, or 9/17 Superstars, but back from August 17th, so a whole month old. And I'll take this one. We get the Bushwhackers. I don't know where this came from. Out of nowhere, they're back. We saw them like in maybe early 94, and now like out of randomly, they're back. And I knew they're in the 95 Rumble, but I didn't know they would be here for at least 6 months with us, joining us. We get the Bushwhackers. Long entrance. Crowd definitely still into it. It's a name people know, so I don't hate it, right? Like, as far as it, but... The problem is, Well Done is getting jobbed out. So your boys, Well Done, come in here. they went on a gut punch too. It's not even like the Bushwhackers went over strong. It was very weak. Again, the crowd—it's people the crowd knows, so you can use them, I think, for other stuff. But I really just don't like this. Then after the match, they strip off Harvey Whippleman into his boxers. Like, this is comedy. Vince, of course, is laughing it up. So he thinks this is the funniest thing ever. I don't know why we have to see Harvey Whippleman as Tighty Whities. I don't even get well done. Like, why they would join Harvey? He's never proven himself in WWE. So, like, they're basically jobbing themselves out by having this guy. I've liked Harvey when, you know, the Place to Be years ago interviewed him. I thought he was, like, a great interview and a great guy. But this is just a low point for him. Like, it's beyond – it's bad comedy. It's so tropey. And this is their marquee match for this one. It was a big disappointment. And this is rough. Again, I get the Bushwhackers crowd reference, so I know you're trying to bring in the casual fan a little bit more, but this was really disappointing.
Yeah, if you're someone that like grew up with the Attitude Era only, like that was your starting point, and you're like, oh, you know, Test and Albert, they sucked. Like, don't ever say that shit to me in my face, because when you have to watch the Bushwhackers and Well Done, and neither of these are considered jobber tag teams. They're considered like actual teams in the division. Like, this is the tag scene of 1994. Like, the Bushwhackers come out and lick Jerry Lawler, which, first off, how dare you do that? and it's just, like you said, they jobbed out Well Done, who, no, they're not a great team, but they are a younger team that you could have given a chance to and, you know, given a win over an established name, at least, right, albeit as opener on Superstars, and they have a manager. At least you could have kind of made them a mid-card something. But yeah, this is just terrible, and it's just, this is like the epicenter of the whole division right here. This is what it means in 1994 to be tag team wrestling.
Yeah, and I mean, like, again, if they would have, I don't actually mind them jobbing out if like Harvey was involved or something else, but it's literally nothing. They get squashed. I mean, there's nothing around it. So again, if you want to have to send the fans home happy with the Bushwhackers winning, like, fine. But like, at least make Well Done seem credible. They're basically right. Nothing. And then, like I said, even the Harvey stuff, like the Bushwhackers beat up their manager and they do nothing about it.
Yeah, so it's just a bad taste in your mouth when there's just really no direction at all in the whole division, and you have two singles guys as a champion. So
yeah, the only thing we do with positive of that, I'm just gonna add that next week we see Bam Bam Bigelow versus Adam Bomb, and Bomb talks about the Bomb Squad. So I think we're all on Adam Bomb coming right now. So there we go. We flipped. The Bushwhackers, we're back in. So why don't you get the next couple segments?
All right. So yeah, we got a couple squashes now. We got a Jeff Jarrett squash. Pretty simple squash. He uses the figure four to win. I don't know if this is the first time. I mean, I know he's used like a couple different finishers. He's used like the DDT, a jumping version of the DDT. So I don't know if this is like going to be his established finisher now that, you know, we see him use in like 95, 96. So that should be something to track. Then we get an Undertaker squash, which he's wearing the purple now. I just wrote it as a note. I don't know if it's like this is where he started wearing purple. But
did he wear purple at Mania or at SummerSlam?
I remember. He did at SummerSlam because that's how they differentiated the two.
Yeah, like, I was gonna say, I knew he wore a different color. I didn't remember purple. I'm guessing that's why, and maybe he just keeps it.
Yeah. So in this match, it's almost like they're reintroducing him, like, because he was out for so long. They're kind of like, you know, going over his character again, and he gets a nice tombstone for the win. So it put him over solid, kind of. Just reminding everybody who the Undertaker is, as if they needed to know. But then we also get a Quang squash, which is a pretty cool, decent little squash for, you know, being Quang. I wrote my notes. I don't care. I love Quang. Like, he's entertaining, at least. You know, it's better than watching the Bushwhackers and Well Done.
He's got a fine gimmick.
Yeah, exactly. He's got a fine gimmick, and his movesets. Newer aged, I guess. So it fits in the new generation era, and you know, he's not like a plotting guy or anything like that. So about three squashes there. Nothing crazy, nothing terrible either at the same time. So it wasn't the worst stretch of squash matches you can get through.
No, that's true. That's true. And I think we'll see Quang a lot. They definitely a guy they seem very keen on on using a bunch. I think I don't know why, but it must be just like a guy they want to do. I'm just trying to get to see if I miss anything else. Quang Harvey Whippleman is closed back on. You know, that was kind of weird that like Harvey's back out, like pretend like that didn't happen.
Right.
And then I also mentioned Taker, that they talked about Yokozuna the entire match with Taker. Like, they don't even mention the under Faker, Teddy Biasi or anything. Like, so that's like,
yep.
That's like, just kind of randomly doing that. Let me see. We have something. We got Heartbreak Hotel. Diesel says he's the host, kind of nothing. And then we get Bob Sparkplug Holly out with MVP. Again, this is kind of like a nothing gimmick. It just goes nowhere. And then we lastly get Bob Backlund, who wins. They tried to go an Opie chant. I don't know if that keeps on or if that was like this one-time thing. It was kind of silly. He again tries to start with a handshake, and just the crowd heat is like ridiculous for this stupid cart. So a little ridiculous for that one. And then I did like in Bob Backlund that they did start showing Arnold Skolin throwing the towel. And so like they're really kind of building up that history. Planting the seed. So I like that a lot. Anything you want to add in those last couple matches?
Yeah, so a couple of notes I had in this. In the Heartbreak Hotel segment, it's kind of weird to see Diesel still like in his Vinny Vegas mode, like as far as promo goes. Like, it just screams that character still. So it's going to be weird. Sean calls themselves Fine. Like, calls him and Diesel's Fine, so that's gay. DiBiase and a suited Tatanka come out. And Tatanka is so bad on the mic. I'm just not liking heel Tatanka at all. Like, he's just, I don't know. The turn was cool. Like, it was cool, but the character work is just terrible.
Yeah. I think we liked him a little bit building up about like the Luger stuff. Like, I think that was kind of fun. Right. You know what I mean? Like, I think that was a fun little, like his build up. But I think after that, it's been pretty rough.
Right. And it would have been cooler, like, if Tatanka would have feuded with Luger and like made it all about being like a native. Like, Luger's this whole American guy, and Tatanka's a Native American. Like, he's an actual American. Like, they could have made something out of that, I guess. But here we are with the Million Dollar Corporation instead. And yeah, Spark Plug was cool, and the Backlund squash was pretty fun, even though the jobber was more jacked than Bob Backlund. So that was an interesting look there, aesthetically. Yeah,
who was the jobber? I forget.
I don't remember who it was. I know he was like all jacked up little dude, but I mean,
Tony Bob Roy. Backlund. Yeah, he's Roy. I remember he's a guy that's been around a lot. Because I remember like the handshake, they like really play it up. And he's like a guy that has like at least charisma compared to like some of the other jobbers they have. So,
and it's so weird because like Backlund, like if he would have had, I've been watching some like early 80s WWF, like 82, like shout out Chad kind of was watching a lot of that too and kind of like influenced me to watch that. And his Backlund's so good in the ring in that era. Like, he's, you know, a great technician, and he's got like a lot of good power stuff for. He doesn't look like he's a powerful guy, but he is. If he would have had this character work back then, like, it would have been off the charts stuff for that era. But he just, obviously, they didn't want that out of him. So
yeah, and he didn't want it, right? I mean,
like, right? He didn't want his kids to get bullied in school or something. Yeah.
I'm sure he was pissed about losing the title too.
Oh, 100%.
He might have said that, but I'm sure he was not happy.
Yeah.
Probably better to go with Hogan versus him.
Just exactly.
My opinion.
Oh, 100%.
Makes Vince a lot richer man to defend all his lawsuits. So we'll move on to Raw. Oh, my God. Taped back on August 15th. So we're over a month old.
Jeez. And
past SummerSlam. This one feels stale as all hell. We get Lex Luger out first. He, again, using the torture rack. Crazy that he's kind of using that move still. And they do bring up this match. They keep bringing up that we're going to be live next week. Don't worry. We're live next week.
Yep.
So they kind of know they have this taped thing. And, you know, I was just listening to Wrestling War Zone, and they were just talking about how excited they are to get out of this tape cycle. So it's like, oh, my God. Like, even back in, they're doing 3 or 4 tapings a month and a half old.
Mm-hmm.
And then why don't you get the next match? Because I think that's a match right up your alley.
Oh, yeah. So next we get and you know, it screams as to why they taped it, because – you'd always see throughout all the other shows the hyping up this match of Lawler versus Drosy. So that kind of, when they usually do that, it's kind of, you know, they have it taped, so they're not going to miss out on that. So, so Lawler versus Drosy, a little feud that's been brewing for a couple of weeks now. Early on, Lawler is the Memphis heel shtick of like backing down and getting out of the ring that I know a lot of people don't like. I love it. I love this shtick because it gets the fans so riled up. And when you have somebody that's really good at it, like Lawler, like that can jaw with the fans, that can play over the top, you know, he comes back in and he does the, like, the hide the chain routine where he's like, looks like he's reaching his pants to get, and he never actually has it. You just don't know it. Punches them with, like, you know, with a fake chain, but it's so, he's so good at that. Like, it's just all these Memphis tropes that I love because I'm just a big fan of that territory and Lawler in general.
It crawls into it throughout.
Yeah, and that's the big thing about Lawler is, like, he will play to the crowd and at least get them into, like, he's getting a match with Duke Drosy over. Like, a lot of people aren't going to be able to do that, you know? So, Lawler then hits the pile driver and, like, starts gloating. So it's like, did he really just hit this pile driver? Dink comes out and does, like, this surprise squirt while Lawler's trying to get, like, the trash can.
Well, he's in it, right. He's in the trash can.
Oh, yeah, Dink is in the trash can, right. And Lawler, like, and he squirts Lawler, which is awesome. And I just put, like, Lawler is perfect for this. Like, I don't know what other heel on the roster could play into this. You know, anybody else, this would come off as so corny, so bad. In a sense, it is kind of goofy, but Lawler just kind of makes it work. And then eventually it is a count-out win for Josie, which was kind of cool. Let him get a little victory. Lawler doesn't need it.
Yeah.
Doink comes out and forces Lawler through the crowd as he leaves. So pretty good segment. You know, like, I'm biased towards Lawler, obviously, but I just feel like he makes this stuff work. Like, it's a kid's show, Kermit the Frog kind of, you know, Saturday morning thing you're watching, and he just moves it along and knows how to blend into any kind of character. You know, he's getting over a clown, like, he's getting over a stupid clown gimmick.
Yep.
And he's just perfect for it. Like, you kind of just check out of, you're in this new generation, high-flying era, you know, and Lawler just has you ensconced in, like, these clowns and garbage men kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, this is a feud they built up for a couple weeks at least, right? Like, a month and a half at least. Like, it's not like, oh, man, this came out of nowhere. I think Macho Man, or one of them, sorry, mentions that Lawler's the king of stalling, which is very good. It's a long match, but I think it's good for Duke Drosy. It puts both of them over as, like, big time. Again, the trash can bit was pretty funny. And Doink also comes out with the Burger King crown. And Vince, again, this is where the starting of just me getting annoyed with Vince, just joking about anything could happen to WWF. So I love that King also goes through the crowd. Like, I think that's, we've seen that a couple times where they use this feud. Like, I don't know why they don't do it more often, because the crowd is just going nuts for it, like, the entire time. Like, even if it's not the hottest segments, they're going nuts for this. So I don't know why they wouldn't just use the crowd, go into the crowd more easy, especially as, like, Chicken should heal. Like, it's a great move and really gets him over. And then the only thing I'd say for Doink is, like, or sorry, with Duke, is that the Doink theme music gets played afterwards versus when Duke won this match, too many D's. You know, kind of.
That's what she said.
Yeah. you know, kind of disappointing that for Duke there. Like, you know, I mean, like, it should feel like his big moment. It seems it's more
right.
moment. We know where that's going then. So
exactly. Yeah. And I guess the Doink Lawler feud has been going on for, like, almost a year now. So
yeah,
I guess it's like the feud in the backdrop of another feud kind of thing, like how Lex Luger usually does his feud. So yeah, it is kind of weird, but they do a good job of, keeping the baby faces on the same side, so they're kind of just both united against Lawler, I guess.
Yes, yeah, that was good. And then we get Highlight for Action Zone, which is coming October 23rd. So it seems weird they're pumping up something a month away. Something with Ryan and JT did on their adventure. I did the first ever episode, so I've already watched that. So we'll talk. Me and you could discuss
more. Yeah,
at least watch that. I think it's definitely.
I loved yes. Action Zone, so I'm down for that.
We were talking about that, and it was, like, marquee episode early. So, first couple weeks was definitely marquee episodes. That kind of falls apart. So, but we're there pumping it up like a month in advance. So,
right.
But just maybe shows are trying to do something new. And then we get the Heavenly Bodies out with they start talking about the Smoking Guns feud with them. So, again, nice that they're at least giving them something.
Right.
This is a team that, like, I would have thought would never be around this much. Like, you know, they got the big title match at SummerSlam 93, and I thought, like, okay, they were kind of done. But they've been weaving in and out here. Again, I think it just shows you the tag team division that they haven't given feuds, but at least something with smoking guns here. And then you want to do the Bob Backlund thing?
I'll take it. So, all right. So next we get Vince out with Bob Backlund. So you always kind of get like a bigger feeling when Vince is the one doing the interview. Like he wants to make sure this goes a certain way kind of thing. It's not just like a simple Ray Rougeau kind of in-ring interview or whatever. So
yeah, he definitely wants to control this.
Right. Right. Like, yeah. like how he wants to be on commentary for the big feuds and that kind of thing. So Vince like comes out and confronts Backlund about like his snapping, like on Brett and stuff. And like the way Bob Backlund just comes off here is so good. Like he's so articulate and he also makes you want to side with him because he has like good points in some of the things he's talking about. So I always like, you know, they say a really good heel can convince you that he's right or that he actually thinks he's right. So he does a great job of that while also coming off as unhinged. So like when you look deeper into it, you're like, well, this guy's just crazy. Like I can't side with him. Like what was I thinking? So he puts over the crossface chicken wing. Like he talks about the move like this is like deadly hold. So like you said about the foreshadowing with the towel, this also does foreshadowing with the hold itself. So that's really good stuff there.
Yeah.
He says he'll retire if anyone can escape the hold. So another great point of, you know, really pushing home the submission aspect and the hold and coming from an amateur background. Like this is how wrestling's meant to be kind of thing. Really good stuff building up his character. He then challenges like Howard Finkel to come in the ring, which was awesome because he's like, what the hell? Like, why are you calling on me? And then eventually like a writer enters the ring, which was random, right? Like a magazine writer, whatever they called him, Louis something. Enters the ring and Backlund just attacks him. This was so well done.
I remember this segment so much.
This was so good. Like I felt like this was something needed. You know, like when you have this stretch of like squash matches or, you know, just little things like that, you want something you can sink your teeth into. And like, he really attacked him and then get the best part was afterward. He goes into the camera and like says, did you feel it? Like asking the crowd, like, did you feel that? Like that.
Yep.
Just so a character I hated so much a year ago. I love now. Like I love where this is going with him. I don't necessarily agree with the direction it goes fully, but you know, here that's neither here nor there. Just the character itself. Like I want him on each show every week. So kudos to how they pulled this off in a really great segment.
Yeah, it was really well done. I think the pulling that writer in is like a great move because no one's expecting it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like I think it does it way better than if you did have it as somebody like, you know, even Howard Finkel, like people know, like there's no idea like this. And they Vince quickly brings up all their friends. And then he's just like, he's also a little guy. So the way he's able to like throw him around, like I remember being so pissed. I thought this was real. Of course I'm an idiot when I was 10 years old, I guess. But like I was just like shocked that he did this. And like Macho Man even jumps in the ring, like say he actually says, I watched it the second time, he's like, screw Tunney, which because I didn't know what he said. He's like, screw Tunney, and goes back in the ring. So like Macho hasn't been really involved, and all of a sudden he's getting involved. So I thought really picked him up as like a bully, like big time crazy guy. I really like this segment. You know, kind of random, like you said, but I think it's why they do it, right? Like I think they do it as this random guy to really put him over as like this menace.
Yeah, I think, you know, like you almost have to build, like if I don't know why they went this direction. I don't know what made them want to go this direction when, like I know you need like a transitional champion or whatever for what they want to do, but I don't know what made them choose him basically. Like I wonder who came to Vince with this idea, like, or if he came up with himself, because like, I feel like, the whole Owen push is kind of dead now. The 1-2-3 kid
Anvil
push
is terrible.
but like what makes me think is, you know, that Jerry Jarrett's no longer booking because like the smaller guys aren't emphasized as much.
Yeah.
The work rate stuff's kind of, you know, it's hit or miss now. You can tell they're kind of like soured on Brett as champion. So like, you know, Vince is back. He wants his guy in there. When Vince was there before the only reason Brett got the title in the first place, is because the steroid trial happened.
I can't tell if he's soured on Brett yet. We haven't seen a lot of Brett, so I'm not sure. I'll be interesting to see.
Well, think about plays out. He gives Diesel the title for a whole year. So it's like, if you were, you know, like, I just feel like he had this shiny toy and Diesel's big and he gave Yoko the title. Like, he wanted off Brett right away for a big guy in Yoko. Like, I don't know. I just feel like Brett was just more of a steady hand, and that's why he got the belt. And Vince just was never really bought all the way into him, which kind of sucks, because I wish they would have gave Brett a real chance as like a solid champion, you know?
Yeah. I'd be interested to see like how he plays off. Obviously, I think they want a hot shot at Diesel because he just gets so over quickly. But I wonder if it's like if Brett will be pushed away. I think it's way different in 96 to me, where Brett's like, okay, we're just holding time for Sean. Right. I wonder where Vince decides to make the switch. It'll be interesting to see.
When I think of 95, I think of Brett versus Jean-Pierre Lafitte. I think of Brett versus Isaac Yankum. Yes. Like Brett versus Backlund at Mania, the match that sucks. Like, that's what I think of Brett. I think of Brett versus Hakushi.
That's a good match.
And they're good. Yeah, they're good matches. All of them are good matches, really. No, I love Brett. Not
WrestleMania. Come on.
But like,
what do you say?
Well, then there's like the no holds barred Owen match. There's that's an awesome match. Like, a lot of great matches, but then like none of them are main. Like, they're, some of them are even below mid card level. So it's just, I feel like they kind of put him as they typecast him into a worker instead of a draw, you know?
Yeah. No, I understand. I wonder where this came from and everything. So it'll be interesting to kind of see how this all came about. But I agree. I wonder who came up with this idea, because it's just kind of random. Especially as like we talked about before, like Backlund's not at SummerSlam. He's not in King of the Ring. He's not in Mania. He's a guy who comes out of nowhere. So,
and it goes against their whole new generation.
Yeah. Motto, oh, definitely. Definitely. So, then we get the quickest Bob Howie match ever. So I don't know if they're running late in time to run this out. And then we get Yokozuna out without Fuji or Cornette, which is really random. And then Macho says, we haven't seen him on Raw in a while. And he says, it looks like he put on 50 pounds since the last time we saw him, which is just amazing. They're clearly fat shaming him. And then Yokozuna's leaving the ring and the gong goes off and Yoko runs. I actually saw it on Superstars. I watched it out of order. So he actually starts running on Superstars for the same thing, but then realizes probably don't want to run and just starts walking. So this one, he ran a little better. So I timed his 40, and the Raw one was better than the Superstars one, but it was pretty pathetic either way of quote unquote running. So cool. They're setting up that feud. Cool. Making it seem like, Yoko's really saying, afraid of Taker. Weird they don't have Fuji or Cornette there, so maybe just a taping issue. So nothing then there, but they're definitely building that feud up.
One quick thing on Sparky Plug. They called him Bob Spark Plug Holly now, so I don't know if that's like his permanent name change instead of Thurman Sparky Plug. But
one thing I would have probably been tracking, I just missed it whenever they changed it. I don't know when.
Right, so it might be now. It might be Bob Sparkplug Holly now. So might just have to look at that the next time it comes out.
Yes. Ready to move on to Superstars?
Yes, sir.
All right, so we got 9:25. So a little bit. This is right after SummerSlam. So this is August 31st, at least taped, but still pretty stale. Mm-hmm. At least it's taped after SummerSlam. So that's the only thing I'd say. We start off with Davey Boy Smith. So we get Davey Boy Smith randomly out. Huge pop for him, because the crowd obviously knows him. He gets even pyro with his entrance, and he still looks jacked right now. Like, he definitely, his off time was hitting some steroids.
That's my exact noise. Roids are back in the Fed. That's my.
Yeah. He took it off 2 years, took it off from TV for 2 years, and then did steroids. So, pretty strong match. Again, a nice guy to bring in just to add some stronger talent. And then people know, and he's a guy that can be in that, you know, upper mid card to, you know, main event type scene, because he's just no name. He's been a tag team champion, IC champion. So I like them bringing in. And then we got Sean and Diesel in a quick tag team squash. Again, just kind of put them over. This is a tag team. It's weird. Again, we've kind of noticed this, that they're doing the tag team feud versus, or being in the tag team versus, being singles competitors. But obviously, I think they're trying to set something up for the rest of the year. So anything out there?
Yeah, just cool to see Bulldog back, like you said. Kind of wish he would have been put in a different role, like as a heel to feud with Brett. I think that could have been cool.
Yes.
Especially because their matches are so good. Sean and Diesel, yeah, it definitely feels like Diesel's the focus. But I guess they're just trying to, like you said, playing this into the story of eventually what's going to happen. So I guess we'll just have to kind of settle with this as a team for right now. So then after that, we're going to get a doink squash, which Lawler kind of makes this interesting in commentary, at least. Doink then bumps Dink off the apron, which reminded me of that, like, I don't know if you've ever seen that clip of that. It's like in Mexico with that little, like, monkey. Like, it's like a little midget wrestler that's in a monkey costume, and he gets, like, drop kicked and flipped into oblivion. So people listening will know what I'm talking about, but
I do not. Sorry.
You will see, if you ever look up, this blue monkey gets drop kicked off the apron. And
I gotta write this down. Blue monkey. It sounds like a word.
It's in Mexico. No, it's not. It's not gonna be like some hidden porn thing or anything. Yes. Like that. But
he
gets drop kicked and like does like a shooting star in the air through. It's crazy. This was nowhere near as crazy as that, but that's what it made me think of. Lawler goes down and like tears up Dink's tricycle, which was pretty cool. Like,
yes,
the fact that they're like making Dink, who's a legit grown man, into it is kind of weird.
Oh, poor guy.
You know, yeah, he's crying over a tricycle. It's, so, yeah,
the way he destroys it too is pretty awesome. Like he gives a beat down to it. I thought that was pretty good. Yeah, I also put in this match. Let's put this match that Doink got worked over by Sonny. The jobber's name was Sonny Rogers, which is a ridiculous jobber name. And he gets worked over here. Like, Doink gets, I think, because they're obviously setting up the tricycle bit, so they need Doink to be distracted. But, like, the jobber almost wins here. Like, if you were doing it on points, the jobber would have won. Like, Doink looks so weak in this match.
Right.
So, yeah, so that was a good. And I thought King loved it. I thought King was great in this segment.
Oh, he's actually made this feud pretty solid. Like, Doink and Lawler's been a decent little feud. So, after that, we do get a quick Tatanka squash as well, which I'm just so down on him right now. Like, it just didn't really even do anything for me.
Yeah, I have that. You know, he comes down the aisle. First thing he says, he needs heel music. He just doesn't run to the aisle. But all these kids still have tomahawks, and a lot of them are still going for handshakes. So, like, it's just like a guy that was over the crowd. We've always loved Tatanka. Said, oh, man, he's over the crowd. And so, like, if you didn't watch SummerSlam, like, and you go to this taping, 3 days later, you don't know he's a heel. And
that's so, true.
Like, there's a ton of kids looking for handshakes, and his music's the same. So, like, how would you even know? So, I don't know. It's just kind of weak on that point. Obviously, very quickly becomes a heel. Obviously, very quickly is a heel because it comes up with Ted DiBiase. So, I think it is kind of obvious, but obviously, at first, the crowd doesn't know. So, and we also get King Kong Bundy is back.
King Kong
Bundy. They have this weird guy backstage. I don't know who that guy was doing the promo. And then they kind of shake the screen and kind of mention that Bundy's back. So, I don't know where this came from either. decisions right now is just weird.
Right. And so, it's really weird that, you know, they're taking all these relics from the 80s. That's why I just don't feel like Vince really was bought into being like in the new generation. Like, I don't think he ever wanted to do that. I think he has had to, because of certain like pressure and his working agreements with Memphis and other, you know, areas like that. He just kind of had to, but I don't think he ever really wanted to evolve in that kind of an era, which is probably good. It's probably right for him. Like, you know, not every wrestling needs to be, WCW or not, you know, like current day, why I'm so down on the product now is like all the you know, federations seem the same. Like, they're all PWG from the mid 2010s kind of wrestling, you know?
Yeah, it's just so weird. I read the Observer. There's been nothing about some of this stuff, like who's making the decision or if this is Vince like deciding he wants it. But again, he pushes so hard in the new generation era. So it's so weird that he is pushing for the new generation era. Like, it seems like it doesn't, like, Vince is always like new, like he's constantly doing it. It seems like he wants it. at least in marketing, but then maybe you just can't go to it. I'm not sure.
Well, it's like, all right, Diesel would have been a champion in the Federation era. Like, that's his type of guy.
Yeah.
Yoko would have been a champion in that era. Brett probably would not have. And then Sean probably would not have. So yeah. I guess it's like half and half of who the champions are in that little, I mean, Backlund, obviously, I don't count that little run, but then he went to Hogan. You know, he went to back to Hogan. Savage, I feel like he would have kept Savage around. Like, you know, that, I don't know. He didn't go all in, I guess, is what I'm thinking. Like, if you'd went all in, then I couldn't see the argument, but I don't know. It's just weird.
Yeah. They showed highlights of Bob Backlund's break, the fight with Louie. And, I also put there, this is my notes a little bit more on Macho Man. It's like, man, he's so wasted during this time frame. It's like,
100%. Man,
I really wish he would be involved in here, like just anything. And it's going to be the end of him soon. Like, he's
very soon. Yeah.
So very soon. Yeah. I don't know when that will come up. So definitely very small. Then we get Anna Bomb Squash looking good. And they talk up the Bam Bam Bigelow. That seems to be the feud. And then we get Yokozuna, as I mentioned. This is the one where a crowd's going crazy after the gong. And then I put here that Yoko runs three steps and then just gives up. And it's just sad. And there's nothing else to describe it. It's just like he realized he couldn't even run. Like, he tried to run and got gassed three steps into it. It's just sad because you know where it's going to go, where this is going to finish up. So,
pretty soon, too, right? I mean, after Survivor Series, he takes a break for a while.
He goes to Fat Farm and then he comes back and they Fat Farm. I mean, it's constant. Like, he's there for 2 months, Fat Farm. Comes back fatter, like, just, you just know where this is going. So sad there. So anything else to add on this superstars?
I think we're good.
All right. I also, there was a highlight of the they talked about going out live, and they got that 40-foot Undertaker statue or like blow up doll, which looks awesome. Which looks awesome. So I did, that was my last note. We're gonna be live September 26th. From Utica, New York, and the history of WWE just says heavily papered, which is not a good sign. But right. at least we're live, so we're gonna start off with a. They built this up last week too, with Razor versus Tatanka. So again, this one the crowd's a little bit more into it because again it's a month after SummerSlam, so you don't see the cheers, you don't see the tomahawks for Tatanka. But big spot for him and a big spot for the Million Dollar Corporation. Crowd is really into this. I thought. I actually saw Tatanka still getting some pops here and there. So like, again, the guy just was kind of over with a lot of people. So maybe he didn't do it. They also made Macho Man seem like, Macho Man was saying look like Million Dollar Man bought this title shot for Tatanka, which is a good use of like Million Dollar Man. Like, he squeezed him in, like cut the line. Right. I really like that. A 10-minute match, but man, these two guys are just hot, sweaty messes throughout this match. Like, there's a couple like, you know, Racer does his abdominal stretch, obviously, like every match. But these guys are just pouring sweat. So I don't know if it's hot in there, or just they're kind of going fast and hard compared to what they normally go, but they were definitely that. And then we get the end of the match is Razor Ramon distracts, Million Dollar Man distracts Razor Ramon. Razor goes after him. That then kind of forces Luger to come out, and that forces them Bam Bam Bigelow to come out, and kind of like this hot brawl in the aisleway between the four of them. I thought really well done. Kind of puts over Tatanka and Bam Bam is that kind of makes Luger still look not a big player, but it gives him something to do. It really shows that he's pissed off at Tatanka. Again, I don't know why he wouldn't run down to the ring versus walk to the ring. Mm-hmm. And he's also wearing a belly shirt that's common for girls right now, but Luger must have set the trend with his little belly shirt. So trendsetter in Mr. Luger there.
Yeah, this match was decent. It was, you know, Razor was showing a lot of fire. I can't vibe with heel Tatanka, especially because I liked him so much as a face.
Yeah. And
I thought he worked well with the crowd. Like, he was I don't know. They just messed him up for me. And like you said, with the distraction, it kind of throws the match out and everything. So it was a decent little match and a good match to start the show, especially coming back live. You know, good fire, a couple workers that can get the crowd into it, but this just didn't do anything for me at the end of the day. So after that, we get a Quang Squash, which was, you know, pretty decent. He's coming like the new Adam Bomb as far as like cool squash matches go, I guess. How Adam Bomb was at first, but it is getting a little long in the tooth, just like he was. So hopefully, want to see something come out of this with him. Then we get a King's Court with the Bulldog. So I was just glad to see, like we said before, the Bulldog back. Like, I like that they're highlight giving him like this segment already to kind of reintroduce him, because if you were, you know, you haven't seen him since what, like our first show, right? Like Saturday Night's Main Event 92.
Yeah, because he loses the title right before Survivor. Like, he's not. Yep. He was supposed to be at Survivor Series, right, but he's not. So yeah, that would probably been the last time we saw him.
So I mean, there could definitely be a ton of you know, lost viewers in that period. Like, you know, people probably were in and out. So just kind of reintroducing him. King does pretty good to lead this. Like, tells a lot of like dog related jokes and stuff. And then Neidhart comes out to challenge.
His guts.
Well, it's like, he's so embarrassing. Like, why do you want Jim Neidhart as a player? Like this feels like, I don't know, like you're taking the second rate tag guy, like the sidekick tag guy, and making him, this would be like if D-Von was coming out to challenge somebody in like 2008 or something.
Out of shape too.
Right. So it just feels weird that Neidhart is getting like the focus, especially when Owen was doing such a great job. I don't know what made them derail from Owen. Like, he's clearly, his push is done, I guess for good, right? I mean, he becomes like a really good mid-carder, but
yeah,
he never comes to that main event status again, which sucks. So yeah, it's just weird that they only gave him the ball to run with for that little, like, what's 5 month period maybe. So yeah, just weird to come out of this having Neidhart being like this I'm challenging you kind of guy. So weird, yeah, to see.
Yeah, I don't know where. I guess they, I mean, I think we were talking about that they thought that it felt like they were going Anvil Brett's, and it seems like they've already pivoted off this, right? And so
yep.
I'm guessing that that's kind of happening.
Yep,
I don't know what just happened there, but something went off. But we're all good. I do like, again, they got this Bulldogs fireworks, so they're making it seem like a big. No one else got fireworks, so they're making it seem like he's a big deal. So I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get 1-2-3 kid squash. Nothing there. The guy we haven't seen in a while. I don't know if he's hurt or not, but I feel like we haven't seen him in a while. And then we get randomly Shawn Michaels and Diesel in a squash again. Really trying to put them up as a tag team, but we get the Head Shrinkers showing up. And like you kind of talked about last time from you and Marcus discussion, but right, it seems like the Head Shrinkers, Samu, is no more. So,
which is cool. I love Barbarian. So
yeah. And honestly, as a kid, I didn't know that was him. So again, I'm pretty dumb at 10 years old, I guess, back at this time. And they build it up as he's part of the Samoan family. And,
yep,
you know, they definitely don't make it seem like he's like just coming in for no reason. So I don't know. Did they even mention why Samu left or just retired?
No, they kind of did something that Samu, what did he say? He choked on a chicken, but said something weird to kind of write him off. And then they called Barbarian Samoni or Sione.
Yeah.
He becomes Sione, but I think at first they called him Samoni. I don't think they have the name down right yet. So you could tell this was kind of just like thrown together. And I don't know. Like Barbarian was in, I know he was in WCW before this. I don't know what he was doing in 94. I know he had like a little run with Cactus Jack in 92, maybe 93, somewhere around there. So maybe he's just been kind of out of it for a little bit, but very random for Barbarian to run in and kind of be, you know, who I don't even think he's part of the lineage at all of Samoan.
I don't think so either.
I don't think he's Samoan. Yeah. So just a random, hey, he's brown enough. Just throw him with the family, I guess.
Yeah. I think they call him a cousin or something like that. Like, they definitely try to associate it, which is a good idea, right? If you're kind of going for this team as a gimmick of, you know, that's why Alpha's there and stuff. So
yeah,
fair enough. But I don't even know how long he lasts. So we'll see how long this even goes about.
Oh, I think he goes into 95.
I'm pretty sure.
But you know, we'll make a difference fat too. So,
well, I can't wait. Yeah. That's where the ratings churn. So
exactly.
Yeah. All right, anything else? Yeah, so okay, start of Raw. I know you didn't like the Tatanka Razor, but I thought I kind of liked it. I thought it started to build up that Survivor Series thing where you got multiple guys starting to feud together and you kind of intertwine these and kind of build up the Survivor Series. So I kind of like that.
Yeah.
But yes, anything else that we can think of?
I think we're good on that.
Yep, so a good return and starting to build up to Survivor Series. Let's go to awards. We got new gen outfits.
Nothing really like stood out crazy to me. I think Holly had a decent outfit at one point. So I mean, I guess he kind of gets it by default because I don't remember anything else standing out. So I'll have to go with Holly on that one.
Yeah, I'll go the same. No one really jumped out. We'll give it for the name change. Most new gen performer.
Man, so I guess I got to go with Backlund. I really like, I'm going to go with Lawler because he was involved in a couple different segments and he kind of helped get Bulldog over, had a pretty decent segment with Drosy and Doink. So, and gets licked on by the Bushwhackers and survived that. So,
yeah, I actually, before he said that, I put Backlund as the most. So glad I was thinking the same thing. Worst match or segments?
Worst? Oh, I mean, yeah. Well Done versus the Bushwhackers.
Oh, yeah. Sure. I forgot about that. It almost ruined the show. I'll go the same thing. Best match?
I'm going to go with, it was a squash, but I'm going to go with the Vince Bob Backlund interview. Good. And then poor, what was his name?
Louis Giuffrino or something like that. Very, Louis, very Italian.
Exactly.
And we got, I'll go Doink, Dink, Lawler, Drew, Duke Drosy, all that whole segment. I thought it was good. Running through the crowd, the kind of funniness of them, kind of popping out of the garbage can was something different. So, and the crowd again was just so into that. So I'll give it to that. Even though probably the Backlund thing is, again, I remember that so well from this time period. Anyone stock up?
Oh, Backlund for sure.
Yeah, I'll go the same. I thought it was a great. Again, I was like, I can't believe they did that on TV, like type thing. When I watched it as a kid, and then stock down.
Tatanka, I just can't. He used to be somebody that was surprising me with how over he was with the crowd and how fun he was to interact with, but he's borderline unwatchable right now for me.
I'm going to go poor Yokozuna. That running was just pathetic. And you got Macho Man calling him out saying he's 15 pounds heavier.
Right.
Just the burial of him. So rough there. So, all right. We'll be back in two more weeks. We'll get, keep moving on the Raws and Superstars. No Survivor Series promos so far. So that was kind of interesting. We'll get some Action Zone in there as well. We'll try to find some of those old ones and maybe give some highlights from those because I think there's the first couple weeks there's some good matches. We got a Brian Owen match for the title, so there's a lot of good stuff on there early on. So we'll see everyone in 2 weeks, and thanks for listening, Ready, Review, and we'll talk soon.
Yes, sir.